Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, May 13th. This is Susan Over. We will begin today's reading with Council to Discuss Changes in Title. Bloomington. With four aldermen joining the City Council, the city is taking a fresh look at that title. The Council will consider amending the City Code to clarify and broaden the references to aldermen beyond the current masculine-only reference, said Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus. Specifically, the proposed ordinance clarifies the term would have the same meaning and effect as council member, alderwoman, alderwoman, alderman, and alderperson. The council is slated to vote on that change during the meeting tonight at 6 p.m. at City Hall. The change, if approved, recognizes there are elected officials who may want to be referred to other than alderman. This officially allows for that, said Tyus. We are going to appreciate and incorporate the reference they prefer. Quote, it's a tiny change. I think it means a lot to the people who aren't currently seeing themselves in the language we have, said Jen Carrillo, who was elected April 2nd to represent Ward 6. End quote. In addition to Carrillo, the other newly elected council members are Donna Bolin of Ward 2, Julie Emig of Ward 4, and Jeff Crable of Ward 8. They were sworn in at a special meeting May 1st, and today will be their first regular council meeting. Carrillo said she brought the matter to the attention of city officials as a matter of wanting to make sure materials, nameplate, signature, and business cards had gender pronouns and a word other than alderman. The council also will consider the appointment of Mayor Pro Tem, who is a council member serving temporarily in the absence or disability of the mayor. Former Ward 6 Alderman Karen Schmidt had been serving in that role, but she lost her seat to Carrillo. In other action, the council is expected to vote on expanding boundaries of a local enterprise zone to support the $35 million expansion of Brandt Industries manufacturing facility in rural Hudson. The company plans to increase employment to over 300 full-time employees within 6 years. Inclusion in the Enterprise Zone, which encompasses Bloomington, Normal, McLean County, Gibson City, and Ford County, could help Brandt get a sales tax rebate for materials used in the building project. The Ford County Board and Gibson City Council are set to vote on that change tonight. The Normal City Council and McLean County Board have already signed off. Brandt requested an expansion by 0.05 square miles to include more property the company purchased at 19500 North 1425 East Road in rural Hudson. That enterprise zone is currently 14.1 square miles and can be up to 15. End of article. Bloomington 911 service down. The 911 system for Normal and McLean County is back in operation. People with emergencies in Bloomington, however, are still asked to call the police department's non-emergency number. That is 309-820-8888, 820-8888. Bloomington police said its 911 service had not been restored as of 8 p.m. yesterday. The 911 system went down early Sunday morning, according to Blake Mowry, the 911 supervisor for McLean County. He said crews worked throughout the day to fix that system, which started working again around 7:45 p.m. We noticed around 2:30 a.m. that they were having some issues with calls, and by 3 a.m. the whole system was down, Mowry told the Pantograph. Technical people were working on it, and we understood there were multiple areas in Illinois also experiencing issues. ISU police tweeted at 8:20 p.m. its 911 service has been restored. Non-emergency numbers issued earlier in the day can still be used. Anyone in Normal or McLean County can call 309-888-5030, 888-5030. At ISU, you can get help by calling 309-438-8631, 438-8631. Surrounding counties did not appear to be affected. End of article. FlickFat. In Champaign-Urbana is State Farm Center, the University of Illinois athletic arena that looks like a concrete flying saucer. Until 2013, it was known as the Assembly Hall. Do you know the four other names that finalists had back in December 1963 when U of I officials originally named that building? Answer. Mulling a name for the arena only a month after President John F. Kennedy was assassinated, the governor of Illinois at the time, Otto Kerner, favored it being called the John F. Kennedy Memorial Hall. But not wanting to get caught up in emotions of the moment, a vote was taken among faculty and students. Assembly Hall won out, nudging other possibilities. Illini Assembly Hall, Robert Zupke Assembly Hall, and Red Grange Assembly Hall. End of flick fact. Veterans Health and Service Expo set. A Veterans Health and Service Expo will be held this Saturday at 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. at the ISU Alumni Center, 1101 North Main in Normal. The VA, U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, Illiana Healthcare System, is partnering with the Veterans and Military Services at ISU in presenting this expo. The VA will provide on-site eligibility and enrollment for VA services, health screenings, and information and updates on caregiver support, suicide prevention, and My Health Vet. My Health Vet is the VA's personal health record designed for veterans and their caregivers with internet access. That expo also includes a breakout session from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. on the recently passed Mission Act and updated information on the VA outpatient clinic being developed in McLean County. That building at 207 North Hamilton Road, Bloomington, formerly an Illinois Department of Employment Security office, is being remodeled and expanded into the first VA clinic in McLean County. The VA is spending $6 million to repurpose the former office building into a medical clinic and add 7,000 square feet, bringing the clinic size to 20,000 square feet. The VA facility planner, Jonathan Hall, told the Pantograph earlier in the spring, "The clinic is expected to open this fall." At the expo, in addition to the VA, more than 40 veteran-affiliated organizations will be available to provide resources for veterans and their families. The expo includes a presentation of colors and Pledge of Allegiance led by the Bloomington Normal American Legion Honor Guard, which includes veterans from the American Legion Carl S. Martin Post 635 and the Lewis E. Davis Post 56. Quote, "We are committed to serving those who serve and want to extend our thanks to the partnership we have built with Jess Ray from ISU and Jerry Vogler with the McLean County Veterans Assistance Commission Office, Meredith Hernley, co-chair of the Illiana Healthcare System Outreach Committee, said in a statement." End quote. End of article. Monday Memos. Festival to Benefit Catholic Schools, Bloomington. The 6th Annual Bloomington Normal Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate Festival will be held from 6 to 9 p.m. on June 20th. That is a Thursday. Those proceeds benefit all Twin City Catholic Schools. That event, sponsored by Carmody Flynn Funeral Home, will be at Park Regency Hotel and Conference Center in Bloomington. More than 15 Central Illinois wineries, restaurants, grocers, caterers, purveyors, and retailers will offer treats. Tickets are $20. They are available at Corpus Christi Catholic School, Epiphany Catholic School, St. Mary's, Central Catholic, and Carmody Flynn Funeral Home. Attendees must be 21 years old or older and show proper ID for admittance. The evening will include cash bars, live music, and prize giveaways. To get information, you may call 309-827-7699, 827-7699. Kaiser's Bruno Honored for Work, Bloomington. The David and Bob Kaiser families and Nicole Bruno have received the Presidential Service Center Distinguished Service Award, which will be presented this Friday at the McLean County Republicans Lincoln Reagan Day Dinner. Excuse me. The Kaiser families founded and serve Midwest Food Bank. Bruno, a Normal Police Department detective, works with Special Olympics, PATH, and Policemen's Benevolent Association. Also honored are Eileen Schrantz, Home Sweet Home Ministries, David Osnowitz, Easter Seals, Dennis Steele, Western Avenue Community Center, Lynette Brown and Debbie Layton, Advocate Health Hospice, Deal and Terry Ugenle, Boys and Girls Club of Bloomington and other community service, and Liz Breland, court-appointed special advocate. White House Executive Chef Martin Mongiello is guest speaker. Those tickets can be obtained at McLean County Republicans.org. McLean County Republicans.org. Nominations taken for Beautification Awards, Bloomington. Nominations are being accepted by the Citizens Beautification Committee of Bloomington for the annual Beautification Awards. That program recognizes residential and non-residential property owners within the city of Bloomington. Forms may be obtained at cityblm.org, cityblm.org, and they will be taken through June 30th. Beard contest to benefit PATH, Normal. Anderson's Classic Barbershop, 119 East Beaufort Street in Normal, is raising awareness of mental health while having fun. Barbershop owner Noah Anderson wanted to help a nonprofit during May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month, and chose PATH, whose services include a 24/7 crisis information and referral hotline. Four buckets in the shop show photos of four beard styles: goatee, mutton chop, mustache, and clean shave. Anyone is invited into the shop during business hours to drop money in one of those buckets. At the end of the month, Anderson and Barber Griffin Rutledge will have their beards cut into the style with the most money. All money will go to PATH to help the organization purchase headsets for its phone room volunteers. GFPD fundraiser set for Thursday, Normal. The Normal's fourth annual Tee It Up for the GFPD, Global Foundation for Paroxysomal Disorders fundraiser, in honor of Max Chapman, a Bloomington Normal child who suffers from the rare genetic condition, will be held this Thursday from 6 until 9 p.m. at the ISU Alumni Center, 1101 North Main Street in Normal. This event will include a reception, silent and live auctions, entertainment, appetizers, and a cash bar. Tickets are $25. You can get them online at teeitup4gfpd.com. teeitup4gfpd.com. A golf scramble this Friday at Weebring Golf Club is sold out. That ends Monday Memos. Area calendar, registration, vermicomposting workshop that will be held on June 7th, which is a Friday, from 9 until 11 a.m., Miller Park Zoo in Bloomington. It will be for ages 6 till 9. 1 to 3 p.m. is for ages 10 till 17. The cost is $26 to $30. You may go online to bloomingtonil.maxgalaxy.net/home.aspx. bloomingtonil.maxgalaxy.net/home.aspx. Registration, Zoo Safari Camp. Various weeks in June and July, Miller Park Zoo in Bloomington. It is a 5-day camp. Cost $79 till $89. bloomington.maxgalaxy.net/home.aspx. And last, tonight, 6:30 p.m., Solar Power Hour. Bloomington Public Library Community Room, Ecology Action Center, and Midwest Renewable Energy Association. Tuesday, PMI CIC Chapter Meeting, 5 until 7:30, tomorrow Tuesday at the Chateau Hotel and Conference Center in Bloomington. The speaker is Neil Magensombal on the IT factor for Scrum Masters and Project Managers. You can register at pmi-cic.org, pmi-cic.org. How to be a superhero. 6:30 p.m. tomorrow Tuesday at Bloomington Public Library Children's Department. presented by the Prairie Fire Theater. Fairbury Garden Club, 7 p.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, Trinity Lutheran Church in Fairbury. The speaker is Master Gardener Elaine Yoder. You can call 309-212-0721. 212-0721. End of article. Riley named among top education leaders, Bloomington. Barry Riley has been named Superintendent of Distinction in the Corn Belt region for his work at Bloomington District 87. Quote, "I am certainly humbled and honored to be recognized by my peers," Riley said. "There is no greater honor. I have great respect for all the work all of us do on a daily basis," end quote. Riley was given the award last week in Springfield at the Illinois Association of School Administrators luncheon. It is sponsored by Horace Mann Companies, where 21 superintendents from across the state were recognized. After 29 years as an educator and 9 as superintendent in Bloomington, Riley was nominated for the honor by his fellow superintendents and administrators in the Corn Belt region, which is comprised of McLean, Livingston, Ford, and Iroquois counties. Quote, "These extraordinary individuals truly provide exceptional leadership, which elevates the success of our students in their districts and are difference makers in their communities," said Brent Clark, executive director of the IASA. Those who nominated Riley praised a number of achievements in his career, including the completion of a major fine arts addition at Bloomington High School and placing artificial turf on the multipurpose field, part of an $8 million project, without increasing the district tax rate. "Those things are kind of extra special, but there are things happening in our schools every day I'm very proud of," said Riley. Riley said the school board, staff, and many others involved with the district make these accomplishments possible, not him alone. In January, Riley also was named Administrator of the Year by the Illinois Music Education Association for the district's dedication to the fine arts program. "I am really proud what we have been able to do with facilities for the fine arts program," end quote, he said, in recognition of the growth in the drama, music, and art departments. End of article. Divorces. Weber, Julie and Scott Collins Weber. Jacobs, Thomas and Xingxian Chen Jacobs. Coletta, Jennifer and Justin Coletta. Santos, Roman and Hernandez Martinez Santos. Garcia, Odelia and Carlos Venegas Garcia. Ailes, Tony and Aaron Ailes. Harrington, Melody and Michael Harrington. Blythe, Yvonne and David Blythe. End of article. Consolidation loans don't fix what led to debt in the first place. Some tips for dealing with debt. Know your budget. Make the most of each dollar coming in and going out. Lower your bills. By cutting what you pay toward bills every month, you will have more cash to put toward debt payoff. Make more money. Pick up a side hustle and increase your earning power. Some can be done online and have flexible hours. Don't be afraid of debt relief. If you are not making progress on your debts, you might want to get help in the form of debt relief. Know your debt repayment strategy. Common strategies to boost the payoff speed. Debt snowball. Focus on paying off the smallest debt first while paying minimums on the others. Then roll the amount you had been paying on it into payments on the next largest. Debt avalanche. Pay off your debt with the highest interest rate first, while paying minimums on the others, the next highest rate, and so on. It saves you time and money over the course of your debt payoff. Debt consolidation. Combine multiple old debts into a single new one, ideally at a lower interest rate. Make payments more manageable or the payoff period shorter. There are a few ways to consolidate debt, including balance transfer cards and personal loans. And last, a debt management plan. If you are facing a mountain of credit card debt and not making much progress, a nonprofit credit counseling agency can set up a debt management plan to cut your interest rate and put you on a repayment plan. End of article. Flick fact, true or false? As home of the St. Louis Cardinals, Missouri naturally has a cardinal as its state bird. Answer, false. If St. Louis's popular baseball team went by Missouri's state bird, they would be the St. Louis Bluebirds. The cardinal, meanwhile, is a state bird of Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, North Carolina, Ohio, Virginia, and West Virginia. End of article. Settling lawsuit and economic decision. City Council to vote on $55,000 payment. Bloomington. The city has reached an agreement to settle a federal court case against the city and four Bloomington police officers, which allege civil rights violations. The City Council will consider tonight approving a payment of $55,000 to settle the nine-count lawsuit filed in 2017 by Ashley Burrell and Donnelly Jackson over a January 7, 2016 incident in Bloomington. Quote, the decision to settle the litigation was an economic decision made by the city and its insurer, City Attorney Jeff Jurgen said last Friday. The anticipated cost of defending that case was expected to be significantly higher than settling the case. The city denies its officers acted unlawfully in the incident. The settlement will contain, no admission of wrongdoing, end quote, said Jurgens. The lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court in Peoria named as defendants the city and Bloomington Police Department officers Bradley Massey, Aaron Veerman, Tyrell Klein, and Justin Shively. Chicago-based attorneys Daniel Kiss and Louis J. Meyer represented Burrell and Jackson. Quote, we have a confidentiality agreement, so we cannot comment other than to say the case has been settled to the satisfaction of our clients, said Meyer, end quote. Burrell alleged unreasonable search and seizure of her vehicle after an officer pulled her over for allegedly failing to make a complete stop at a stop sign at Robin Hood Lane and Fairway Drive, according to court documents. Police brought a canine to the scene to sniff for drugs. When Jackson, the passenger in the vehicle, refused to exit, officers removed him, according to the lawsuit. Jackson alleged in the lawsuit he was injured by officers using excessive force, a taser, and pepper spray. Burrell was issued a ticket for not stopping at the stop sign and released him at the scene. Jackson was taken to OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center to be evaluated and then to jail for allegedly resisting an officer. Their charges were dropped by prosecutors in 2016. End of article. ISU board hears union worker complaints. Normal. Three people accused ISU of disrespect and failing to live up to its values while showing support for union workers at Friday's Board of Trustees meeting. About 500 university employees who are members of Locals 1110 and 3236 of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, AFSCME, have been working under a contract which expired 10 months ago. Renee Nessler, an AFSCME Council 31 staff representative, told the board, quote, morale is low among our members, and that requests for higher wages have been met with disparaging remarks and disrespect. She said the university is investing in buildings and equipment, but not in people. It is clear ISU's priorities are wrong, said Nessler. ISU President Larry Dietz said after the meeting, there are different pockets of money. Just because we have money for facilities projects, does not mean we have money for staff. End quote. Dietz also said he took notes during the public comment session, but that negotiating doesn't take place at board meetings. He said he had not heard of people being met with disrespect and said of employees that they do great work and are valued for what they do. The two locals represent clerical, library building service, grounds, and campus dining workers. Tom Gershick, an associate professor in the Sociology and Anthropology Department, asked the board to find the money to increase pay for those workers. He said some of the university's most vulnerable employees are, quote, not being paid a living wage, and that is not living up to the values of our institution, end quote. He also noted there are full-time employees who need food stamps. Trish Goodman, a clerical worker in the same department, is one of those workers. She told the board she still makes less than $15 an hour after working at ISU for nearly 7 years. She said one of the complaints is a hiring range that sometimes results in newly hired workers making more money than more experienced employees. Goodman said the union has put a plan together which would take seniority into account in setting pay. End of article. Woman sought on felony charges. Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs public help in finding a person wanted on felony charges. Kelly Shine, 46, is 5 feet 1 and weighs 135 pounds. She has brown hair and blue eyes, and her last known address was in Towanda. Shine is named on a warrant charging her with possession of a controlled substance. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. You may call 309-828-1111. 309-828-1111. Robotics teams face off. Annual competition tests bots and draws kids between 8 and 18. Bloomington. Robotic teams from across the state headed to the Interstate Center on the weekend to see how creations measured up at the annual 4-H robotics competition. Teams spent the last 4 months preparing for that competition by building two small robots based on the theme STEMBOT. Almost 50 teams representing 350 children put their bots to the test to see if they were capable of completing a variety of tasks, including knocking Newton's apple out of a tree, replacing a bad heart with a new transplant, drawing a circle, debugging a computer, and completing a circuit. Competitors were between the ages of 8 and 18 years old in this entry-level robotics experience, said Judy Bingham of the University of Illinois, which organized that event. All the judges were fellow Robotics Club kids between the ages of 13 and 21, who may have been former competitors or taking a break from the major regional competitions. Quote, "We need a little bit of hope and a lot of luck," said 16-year-old Roos Starr during one of his team's practice run, end quote. On their final run, Starr and the rest of Loco Robo, which is based in Lincoln, earned about 70 points after their bot got stuck placing the bad heart in the biohazard area of the board. The Trinity Trailblazers from DuPage County were a bit more successful. Like many other teams, their robot used sensors to follow tape lines on the playmat and completed nearly every task it was programmed for, though it did forget to drop its pen afterwards. For the Trailblazers' six-member team, testing their robot in a big competition was nerve-wracking for some and awesome for others. The Gearheads traveled from Clinton County with several supportive parents like Sharon Risheimer, whose son Alex has participated for 3 years. Because of the nature of the competitions, robotic teams are able to bring together kids with a lot of different skills and interests so they each can focus on mat design, construction, and engineering, communication, or programming. After each team's robots were tested, the children were interviewed about the robot's features and how they helped to accomplish each task, how they performed, and what went right or wrong during their final run through. End of article. This has been Susan Over reading to you from the first half of the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, May 13th. At this time, we will take a short break. Please come back for the second half.